The LA Kings continue to get points, but failed to get two against the Vancouver Canucks over the weekend. Plus, what's your biggest concern as an LA Kings fan right now? I've got two things that stand out. We'll talk about that and more on this edition of Locked On LA Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Kings. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, Kings fans, welcome to Locked On LA Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks for making Locked On LA Kings your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. Please like and subscribe if you're enjoying this content. As we enter a new week, we were at 1,470 subscribers at last check. We have a goal of getting 100 new subscribers each month. We've done that for the past 6 months and counting, and we're already over 200 new subscribers for the month of March. So thank you all very much for your support of the YouTube channel. If you haven't liked or subscribed, it really does help the channel get more recognized. So thank you for doing that. My name is Eddie Garcia. I'm your host of Locked On LA Kings. I've worked in sports media for the past 30 years, 20 plus years at the Fox Sports Radio Network. I'm also co-host of the Puck Podcast. It's a weekly NHL review show that's been putting out content for the past 16 years and a passionate LA Kings fan for the past 30 years. The LA Kings have just 12 games left in the regular season as we count down to the playoffs. Now, they did have a game over the weekend, a shootout loss to the Canucks. We're going to give you a quick recap of that game and where the Kings are in the standings as a result. But first, I asked right at the top, what's your biggest concern right now as a Kings fan? I think number one has to be the health and the status of top scorer Kevin Fiala, who, of course, is out with the knee injury after that knee-on-knee collision against the Colorado Avalanche. As far as an update on his status, I have heard that the Kings are hopeful that Fiala will start skating on his own sometime this week. There have been no reports that he was on the ice, though, today or over the weekend. As for Kings defenseman Sean Durzi, he was skating in a red non-contact jersey this past Friday, but that was not with the group. That was on his own. So it does look like Sean Durzi is a little bit closer than Kevin Fiala to returning, but neither is at practice at this point. So, again, everything I hear is that the Kings do expect Kevin Fiala back before the playoffs, which is, again, our biggest concern right now. But hopefully this week we see him on the ice starting to take the steps necessary to get back in the lineup. Hopefully he could get a couple of games in under his belt before the end of the regular season. But, again, biggest concern right now has to be the status of Kevin Fiala. The Kings have to have him in the playoffs if they are going to advance out of the first round and have a deep run into the playoffs this season, which is obviously what we are all hoping for. As for Saturday's game, yes, the Kings did get a point against the Canucks. And even though the Kings still have not lost in regulation in their last nine games, now 7-0-2, and then, yes, they are riding a nine-game point streak and a 10-game home point streak, still not getting 2 points at home against the Canucks team that has had a tough season. Yes, they are playing better of late, but I still think that's disappointing. The 1 point did temporarily move the Kings into a tie with Vegas with top spot in the Pacific Division with 90 points, but it was only a temporary tie. We'll have more on the standings coming up in just a little bit. And yes, the Kings aren't going to win every game, but they should win games against teams like the Canucks, especially at home, and especially the way the Kings have been playing of late. But unfortunately, that did not happen on Saturday. And there's no question the Kings were the better team throughout against Vancouver. If you watch the game, they did fall behind 1-0 after a shot went off the stick of LA Kings defenseman Alex Edler and fluttered into the net past Jonas Korpisalo. So some bad luck there. Second goal of the game also went off Edler's stick, but this time it was because he shot the puck into the net. A nice feed from Gabe Vilardi, and for Edler, just his second goal of the season and the first time he had scored a goal against his old team where he spent many seasons in Vancouver, and that tied up the game at 1-1. The Kings would take the lead in the second period on a Carl Grundstrom goal, his ninth of the season, which ties his career high. Now, I thought he kicked it in, actually, but the rule book says you cannot put the puck in the net with a distinct kicking motion. And I can understand that the move by Grundstrom wasn't a distinct kicking motion. He kind of moved his foot and the puck went in off of his skate, but it was certainly wasn't it was a reaction, but either way, like they said, no distinct kicking motion, so the goal would stand. For the man they call Tonka, like I said, his ninth of the season and his second goal in as many games. The Kings' only goal in the third period came with the Canucks on the power play after Mikey Anderson was called for tripping. So for the second straight time, the Kings would go to overtime and fail to score. And for the second straight time, the Kings would go to a shootout and fail to score on their two shootout attempts. And the Kings lose to the Canucks 3-2. But like I said, they do pick up a point. And I should clarify, second straight time the Kings have gone to an overtime, they did not score. And so it ended up going to a shootout. By the way, the Kings might be interested to know as Kings fans that the NHL just wrapped up its general manager's meetings. And one of the things they discussed was expanding overtime from 5 minutes to 7 minutes. It doesn't look like that's going to be a rule change that happens for next season, but it is something they're talking about. They want to cut down on the shootouts by giving an extra 2 minutes. They think that could be something. I would be in favor of that as well. But anyway, that's obviously for the future. Again, the Kings not able to get it done in the overtime or the shootout. And really, the overtime was the one area where the Kings were definitely not as good as the Canucks. The Kings had their chances in this game against Vancouver, but didn't take advantage of their opportunities. That included a missed penalty shot by the team's top goal scorer, Adrian Kempe. The Kings outshot the Canucks 40-17. Kings held the Canucks to 4 shots on goal in the first, just 2 in the second, 8 in the third. Now, obviously, some credit has to go to Canucks goaltender Thatcher Demko. He had a solid game. In particular, he had a couple of grade-A saves on the Kings' Philip Deneau. But some solid saves all the way around. Again, the Kings had their chances, but just could not get more into the back of the net than the 2 goals that they scored. As I mentioned, the Kings did look bad in overtime. They did not seem to value the possessions. They made poor decisions, turned it over, and Vancouver had the puck for the great majority of the 5-minute overtime. Matter of fact, the Kings didn't get a single shot on goal in that overtime. The Kings were very, very good, much better team for the first 3 periods, but did not get it done in the overtime, which was disappointing. So what was good for the Kings? Well, obviously the shots on goal was more than good enough. You outshoot your opponent by 23 shots. More often than not, you're going to get a win. And then anytime you hold your opponent under 20 shots on goal, that's obviously a great thing. Another reason why I think the Kings should be disappointed they didn't get more than just 1 point in that game against Vancouver. So other than the result, what was not so great for the LA Kings? Well, that brings us to my only concern for the Kings as a team at this point. We talked about the health of Kevin Fiala is the number one concern, but as a team, the Kings' power play has gone cold. We've talked about it a little bit of late, but 0-2 against Vancouver with a man advantage on Saturday. And while the Kings have improved in most areas statistically since the trade deadline, they're tied for the most points in the NHL since the deadline. They are the top team in the NHL as far as goals allowed per game in the NHL since the deadline. The one area where they are not good since the deadline is been on the power play. Matter of fact, since the deadline, the Kings have the second worst power play percentage in the NHL at 11.5%. Only the Blackhawks are worse. The Kings have had 3 power play goals in their last 26 opportunities with the man advantage. And one of those came on a 5-on-3. 3 power play goals are tied for the fewest in the NHL since the deadline. Now, I know not having Kevin Fiala out there for the last 4 games certainly hurts the Kings in all areas, power play and even strength. But, hopefully Fiala comes back soon to help things out. But regardless, that Kings power play is a concern for me right now. That power play has to be better here in the last 4 weeks as we go into the postseason. The Kings' power play has to give them something in the postseason. We saw in that first-round series against the Oilers what a huge advantage it was for Edmonton and what a huge disadvantage it was for LA. And if they do match up against Edmonton in the first round, I'm still not expecting the Kings' power play to be able to match what the Oilers do. But at least it can't be a huge disparity. It has to be a little bit more even. Yeah, it's going to be an advantage for Edmonton, again, if the Kings match up against them, but it can't be such a huge advantage that, it could change the series. It could win the series for the Oilers. The Kings' power play has to give them something. And again, it's been much improved this year. It's been a lot of encouraging things, but it's got to be better going down the stretch and into the playoffs than it's been over the last couple of weeks, for sure. One of the things that continues to be a positive for the Kings is their goaltending. We're going to update you on the Kings goalie competition coming up in just a second. But first, I need to let you know that today's episode of Locked On LA Kings is brought to you by our friends over at Athletic Greens. With one delicious scoop of AG1, you are absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food-sourced superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help start your day right. The special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging. AG1 contains less than 1 gram of sugar, costs you less than $3 a day, and it's just one scoop in a cup of water. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. And to make things easier, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NHL Network. That's athleticgreens.com/NHL Network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Before we get into the goaltending, I did want to touch on a couple of things that we have been focusing on of late here on Locked On LA Kings, and one of them has been the fourth line for the Kings. We've talked a lot about it over the last couple of games, and I thought Rasmus Kupari, Arthur Kaliev, and Carl Grundstrom had another solid game. Grundstrom had that goal we talked about that went off his foot, and Kupari and Kaliev got assists on that goal. Now, it will be interesting to see at some point when Kevin Fiala comes back, how the Kings are going to adjust their lineup and what they're going to do with Alex Iafallo. Will he slide down on that fourth line and Carl Grundstrom comes out of the lineup? Could Alex Iafallo be kind of a rover, kind of a plug-and-play guy wherever Tom McCullough might feel like he needs it? Could be on the second line, could be on the third line, could be on the fourth line. Not sure, but it will be interesting to see how that affects the lineup once Fiala comes back and where Alex Iafallo draws in. But if the Kings' fourth line continues to play well, who knows? Maybe it even Iafallo even comes out of the lineup and is only kind of used, if necessary. But like I said, the fourth line for the LA Kings, I thought continued to be an asset for them. I thought that line has played well and has produced for three straight games now, and that lineup needs to stay together, in my opinion. But we have news that apparently that's not going to be the case coming up for tonight's game. And I'm not happy about that. We'll get more to that in just a little bit when we preview tonight's game against the Calgary Flames. As for Jordan Spence, another topic that I brought up a lot on the show, feel like he is a guy who needs to get more playing time down the stretch as long as Sean Durzi is out of the lineup. He did play against the Canucks, was paired on the third pairing with Alex Edler, and I thought he looked very good. He ran the Kings' second power play unit, which is also a big reason why he needs to be in the lineup over Sean Walker as long as Durzi is out. Thought he moved the puck very well on the Kings' second power play unit. Thought he had some nice shots from the point. He looked dangerous in limited power play time. Finished with a plus two, and he played 15 minutes and 14 seconds in that game. Now, how much ice time Jordan Spence is going to get going forward remains anyone's guess, but I have no doubt, in my mind anyway, that how he played against the Canucks is not going to do anything to hurt his ice time going forward. Thought he played a very, very solid game, and again, I would love to see him get more ice time down the stretch as long as Sean Durzi is out of the lineup. So let's update you on the Kings goaltending competition between Joonas Korpisalo and Phoenix Copley. Saturday night, Korpisalo got the start, allowed two goals on 17 shots. The first goal he allowed, as we mentioned, did go off of his teammate Alex Edler's stick and deflected into the net. That's not on Korpisalo. That's just bad luck. Second goal was on the Canucks with the power play, a shot off the post by one of the Canucks' top scorers, Elias Pettersson. Not a soft goal in any way. Now, Korpisalo didn't see a lot of shots and allowed two goals. But again, those two goals that he allowed, the majority of goalies in the NHL are not going to be able to stop those two shots. So I still thought a very solid performance from Joonas Korpisalo. Only allowing two goals a game in a game that goes beyond overtime, or should I say beyond regulation into overtime. That's usually enough to get your team a win. Didn't get him a win, did help the Kings get a point. But I think Joonas Korpisalo did his job against the Vancouver Canucks. And something we've said numerous times, whether it's been Korpisalo or most of the time with Phoenix Copley, the Kings goaltenders are giving them a chance to win. every night. I thought Jonas Korpisalo did that against the Vancouver Canucks. So here are the updated numbers. Since the trade deadline, when Korpisalo joined the Kings and the Kings started to alternate the starts in net, for Korpisalo, he now has a record of 3-0-1 after the loss in the shootout to Vancouver. He did actually lower his goals against average from 2 to 1.96, while his save percentage slightly dropped from 292 to 921. The save percentage dropped from 929 to 921. He's allowed 8 goals on 101 shots. He's posted wins over the Blues, Avalanche, and Islanders, and now a shootout loss to the Canucks. As for Phoenix Copley, also the same record as Jonas Korpisalo since the deadline, 3-0-1. He has a 1.47 goals against average, again, compared to Korpisalo's 1.96. And the save percentage for Copley is now 942 compared to Korpisalo's 921. Copley's allowed 6 goals on 103 shots. He has posted wins over the Canadiens, Capitals, and Blue Jackets with a shootout loss to the Predators. Copley is going to be in net tonight for the LA Kings against the Calgary Flames. We'll have a preview of that game and some Kings lineup news coming up in just a moment. Also want to check in on the Pacific Division standings as the Kings continue to battle for home ice advantage in the first round of the playoffs, and who knows, maybe still in the hunt for that division lead. But first, I want to let you know that today's episode of Locked On LA Kings also brought to you by Built Bar. Looking for a delicious treat but don't want all the fat and calories? Then you got to try Built Bar. They're so delicious, you won't think you're eating something that's good for you. Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate. They come in unbelievable new flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, and coconut almond. Not sure how Built does it, but these bars taste like a candy bar, but they are healthy. 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, what a whopping 17 grams of protein. Help you on your workout or just a snack that you need during the day. And you can also order these at Built.com, but also you can go to the local Walmart or Sam's Club and pick them up in the pharmacy section. In addition to the new flavors, I've got the old favorites too, like cookies and cream, double chocolate, and coconut puffs. Built bars, protein bars that taste like candy bars. As we do each Monday, it is time to check in on the Pacific Division standings for the start of a new week. And we did have a change in the top 4, but not in the top 2, and not at the top, where the Vegas Golden Knights are still in first place where they've been for most of the season. They have a record of 43-21-6 for 92 points. They went 2-1 since this past Monday. They posted wins over the Flyers and Blue Jackets, lost to the Flames 7-2. Jonathan Quick did allow 6 goals in that loss to Calgary. Quick was in net for the win over Philadelphia. He was not in net for the win over Columbus. Coming up this week for the Vegas Golden Knights, on Tuesday, they're at Vancouver. Thursday, they're at Calgary. And then a big game Saturday in Edmonton. As for the LA Kings, still in second place, a record of 40-20-10. They went 2-0-1 over the past 7 days, wins over the Islanders and Blue Jackets, and then the shootout loss to Vancouver, which we've talked about. Coming up this week for the Kings, tonight they play the Calgary Flames, and then Saturday they're at home against Winnipeg. 4 days in between games for the LA Kings this week. Your new third place team is the Edmonton Oilers, record of 39-23-8 for 86 points. They again moved out of the wild card spot into the 3 spot in the division, going 3-0 over the past 7 days. They've won 9 of 13, so the Oilers are starting to come on of late. They beat the Senators, Stars, and Kraken. That big win over Seattle this past Saturday, 6-4 up in Seattle. So coming up for the Oilers this week, they play tonight against the Sharks. Wednesday, they're against the Coyotes. And then Saturday, a big game against Vegas. Those are all home games for the Edmonton Oilers. And we have the Seattle Kraken. They are 38-24-7 for 81 points. They went 1-2 over the past week. 1-3-1 is their record in their last 5 games. So while the Oilers are surging a little bit lately, the Kraken are fading a little bit lately as they've dropped into a wild card spot. This past week, they lost to the Stars and Oilers and beat San Jose in overtime. This week for the Kraken, they play Tuesday at Dallas. Thursday, they're at Nashville. And Saturday, also at Nashville, back-to-back road games in the same city, which has been something we've seen with a lot of Eastern Conference teams recently. I'm not sure what's going on with the schedule. But again, quick recap of the points. Vegas, 92 points. They've played 70 games. The Kings, 90 points, 2 points back of Vegas for first. Also 70 games. Oilers, 86 points, 4 points back of LA for that second place and home ice advantage in the first round. Edmonton also has played 70 games. Seattle has 83 points, 3 points back of Edmonton. They played 69 games, so Seattle does have a game in hand. So if the playoffs started today, the Kings would host the Oilers in the first round. Again, 4-point lead for the Kings right now on the Oilers for home ice in that first round. Vegas would match up against Winnipeg. Seattle would take on Dallas, and it would be Minnesota against Colorado, rounding out the Western Conference playoff matchup. There is a bit of Kings news from today. LA acquiring the rights to defenseman Cole Krieger from the Florida Panthers for future considerations. Krieger was a 7th-round pick of the Panthers in 2018. He's 22 years old, spent the last 5 seasons at Michigan State University. He's got 10 goals and 6 assists in 38 games for the Spartans this season. He's got a twin brother that plays defense as well for the Spartans. 160 games at Michigan State. He has 20 goals and 41 assists. If Krieger does not sign with the Kings before August the 15th, he becomes an unrestricted free agent. So clearly, Cole Krieger was, for whatever reason, apparently had no interest in signing with the Florida Panthers. The Panthers figured, well, let's see if we can get something for him because he doesn't want to sign with us. So the future considerations, who knows what that will turn into. Nothing significant, I'm sure. And apparently the LA Kings have some sort of indication that they believe that Cole Krieger is going to sign with the Kings. Now, granted, if he doesn't, they haven't given up much. But like I said, apparently maybe there's a relationship with someone in the Kings organization with the people at Michigan State. Not sure. But like I said, the Kings have done this in the past a few times with some success where they've gone out and picked up a player from another team because that player wasn't going to sign with them, and they've made it work out. So we'll see if this turns out to be anything or not, but just the Kings looking to add a little depth in the organization with a kid who's played a lot of college hockey, a little bit older than your typical prospect. But we'll see if that works out or not. But that was some news involving the LA Kings today. So coming up tonight, the LA Kings are hosting the Calgary Flames. Flames still have faint hopes at making the playoffs, so they will be playing for something, but they're currently 4 points behind Winnipeg for that final wildcard spot in the West, and Calgary has not gained much ground for a while. They've been out of the playoff picture for some time now, and there are some lineup changes tonight for the LA Kings. You may notice that there is not a lot of my voice is not excited about this. Arthur Kaliev has been taken out of the lineup for tonight, placed on the out of the fourth line, which I said have been playing very well of late, and Zach McEwen is in. Sean Walker is back on the third pairing. Jordan Spence is out. Not surprised about the Walker move, frankly, but I don't get taking Arthur Kaliev out of the lineup for Zach McEwen. You know, I've been a little bit of a broken record on this, but the fourth line has been playing well over the last 3 games. Why would you do anything to change that? Why would you do anything to break that up? And Tom McClellan has been a guy, typically, that when something is working, he doesn't change it. So I don't get this move at all. If I'm Arthur Kaliev, I'm frustrated by this move because I've been playing well of late. Why would you take me back out of the lineup? And we've mentioned it, the power play is struggling right now. Why do you take out your second best goal scorer on the power play? I don't get it. I don't like it. I don't agree with it. You know, if the fourth line was struggling, you want to change things up, okay, but they're not. If Kaliev was struggling, I could get it, but he's not. I just think this is a bad move. It doesn't make any sense to me, and I hope this isn't some sort of a reaction because Milan Lucic is on the other side, and so we feel like we have to have a tough guy in the lineup. We should not be, if that's the case, we should not be doing anything to weaken our team because Milan Lucic is on the other roster. And I liked Luch when he was in LA. And at one time he was a force in the NHL, but that is a thing of the past. He's a shell of what he used to be. He could still mix it up a little bit, but we should not be, if that's the case, I don't know that it is, but if that's the case, we should not be doing anything because the other team has Milan Lucic on it. We should not weaken our power play. We should not weaken our fourth line because we need to get a matching tough guy in the lineup. If that's the decision, if that's why it was done, I think that's a bad move. I think it's a bad move all the way around. That fourth line has been playing well. Don't change it. I don't like this. I don't understand it. We'll see how it works out. Face-off at Crypto.com Arena is 7:30. It'll be broadcast on Bally Sports West, and you can hear it on the LA Kings iHeart Audio Network. Looking ahead to this week on Locked On LA Kings, we're going to have a Feedback Friday show this week. The Kings aren't playing on Thursday, So we won't have a game to recap on Friday. So again, fan feedback show coming up this Friday, where we read your questions and comments about anything and everything going on with the LA Kings, including anything we've talked about on today's show. You can always post your thoughts and comments on the comments section below if you're watching on YouTube as well. We certainly use those for our feedback show. The email address, if you want to send an email, LockedOnEddie@gmail.com, E-D-D-I-E, LockedOnEddie@gmail.com. Please follow this show on Twitter. We are at LockedOnLAKings, and we're also on Instagram at LockedOnLAKings as well. Was great to meet up with some fans, by the way, this past weekend. Met up with Jason. That was great, and I'm planning on going out to the game again on Saturday against the Jets. Even though the Kings, the last two games I've gone to, they've lost in shootouts. So if they don't beat Winnipeg, I may have to stop going for a while. But anyway, we do have also, this is a big week. We talked about the Kings are off for 4 days after tonight's game. So we are going to have, we've got the feedback show on Friday, and we're going to have one of our fan interviews this week. The second time we've done this. First time was a success, so we're going to give it another try and have a special LA Kings fan interview coming up later on this week, so hopefully you will enjoy that. As far as tomorrow's show, obviously we're going to recap the game against the Calgary Flames. We'll tell you how Phoenix Copley looked, tell you if the Kings' power play gets back on track or whatever else happens in that game tonight against the Flames. Hey, thanks for making Locked On LA Kings your first listen. Make your second listen game-to-game NHL. Every moment, every top performance, every result. Locked On game-to-game covers every game from across the NHL with local analysts that only Locked On can deliver. Follow game-to-game on Locked On NHL, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. And by the way, I was a guest on today's Locked On NHL talking about the LA Kings. I tweeted out a link for that. If you want to check that out, please feel free. Also, something else that I think is worth your time real quick. The game against the Canucks on Saturday was also a part of the Hockey Night in Canada weekend coverage. And they have a thing that they do that's really great. It's called After Hours. It's, you know, after the game is over, they do a little post-game show. And then they always have an interview with a player. And this week they had Drew Doughty on. He and Jarrett Stoll were on there. And it was a great interview. It was like, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes long. And I think it's definitely worth your time. I did on Twitter tweet out a link to that interview. You can go watch it. Again, great interview with Drew Doughty on Hockey Night in Canada from this past weekend. Really encourage you to check that out if you have not. It's a great interview. All right, I'm Eddie Garcia. Thank you for listening and watching Locked On LA Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow, recapping that game tonight against the Flames. And as always, go Kings, go.